Good afternoon, everyone. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8. It is there in your bulletin as well, but would like to encourage you to always bring your own Bible, BYOB, and have your own so that you can take notes, do highlights, jots, and tittles. While you're turning there, would like to welcome any of our guests or visitors. I noticed there's lots of Filipinos here today. It's wonderful. And yeah, praise the Lord. Magandang gabi. Is that right? No? Okay. Oh, sorry. I haven't said it in a while, but I always say it's a good Sunday when we have testimonies from at least four different nationalities, four different English accents. Today we had Japan, the U.S., Philippines, and Guatemala. So I think we also have Korea, but they didn't come up today. We also have Jamaica here, didn't come up today. But it's okay. Someday the mic will be blessed with your accent. We are a congregation particularly sensitive to what happens in the world because we're from various parts of the world. We're not a typical church that's homogenous, made up of the local people, but we are a church made up of what heaven will look like, all nations, all tribes, all tongues represented. So I bless God for that. And I wish I could bless God in Tagalog, in Patwa, or Hangul, but someday. So here we are. We're in Luke chapter 8. We've been here for quite a while this year. If you notice, we've preached quite a bit from Luke chapter 8, and we've run to the end of the chapter. And so just a quick review. We've covered quite a few of the things Jesus taught in Luke chapter 8, the wheat and the tares. He also taught in Luke chapter 8 the four types of soil. And he also gave us a parable in chapter 8 about lighting the lamp and putting it on the stand, telling us to apply what we've learned. And he's also told us to be careful about how we listen. And then in chapter 8, we see his power demonstrated amazingly. So he's not just the king who or the prophet who is teaching the word in a way that no one has ever taught, but he's also the king who has power that no other king has ever had. He has the power over nature as he's rebuking the storms and the winds and the waves. He has power over the demons, and he's commanding them not by his mighty outstretched arm, but just with his finger, the finger of God. And then today we see at the end of the chapter, he has power over death. Death has no power over him. Death has lost its power. Hallelujah. So that's where we're at in this chapter. What a great chapter, chapter 8 of the book of Luke. And let's go ahead and read it together. It's a long one. Most of my sermon will be just reading this story. So please join me as I'll go from 40 to 56, but please join me at verse 51. Join me at verse 51. I'll start with verse 40. When Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that the power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." And hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Please join me from verse 51. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. The very words of God. Amen. Well, let's see. Somebody wrote on Facebook this week that officially their favorite movie trilogy is the Matrix trilogy. And yeah, that's good. Good trilogy. Good movie. And like many of you, maybe you have a favorite movie, favorite story, and it's one of those stories where every time you hear the story again, it doesn't get old. You know what will happen. You know the twists. You know the turns. But you still can't wait to see what will happen. You love the retelling of it. And every time it's told again, it just gets better and better and better, doesn't it? That's this story, isn't it? For many of you, you have heard this story before. Maybe this is the 10th time, the 20th time you've read this again, and it just never gets old. I love it too. It's the story of two things. It's the story of our salvation, and it's someday the story of our resurrection. We see it right there, salvation and resurrection. Today is a good day for me because I get to preach the good news of the resurrection and of salvation. You see, I'm a teacher. I teach high school and junior high school boys. And I also coach basketball. And I'm telling you, not every day is like today where I get to tell good news. Usually from Monday to Saturday, I'm yelling at students. I'm rebuking them. I'm admonishing them for being disruptive, for being impolite, disrespectful, for being rude, for talking too much, or not doing their homework, and I have to be stern and angry. And I have to yell at my players, run, jump, fight, you're being lazy, give me effort, give me something. Monday to Saturday, I have to be this mean, brutal, stern, harsh teacher and coach. But Sunday, I get to preach the good news. I get to tell somebody, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Hallelujah. It's a good day for me. I don't know about you. Some of you, you've heard, somebody's been stern to you. Somebody's been yelling at you. Somebody's been harsh to you. Today, Jesus gives you a good word. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. But before that, let's start with the beginning. So Jesus had returned He had returned from across the lake. Last week, we covered that in our sermon. He healed, or he delivered a man from demon possession. Just a crazy story. A man was naked, crazy, a maniacal. Literally, he was a maniac because he was possessed of demons, living among tombs. And Jesus said, "Get out of here, demons." He actually just said, "You're done. You're out." And the demons had no choice but to obey. And that was Jesus' vacation. You see, the reason why he went across the lake was to get away from the crowds. And so he said, "Come on, disciples, let's go." And once he gets to shore, more work to be done. He says, "Okay." And the people on that side of the lake said, "Leave us alone. We don't want anything that has to do with sin and holiness and right. Just go away, Jesus." Jesus said, "Okay, no problem. But I'll leave you a missionary." The first missionary, people, the first missionary was not a Jew. The first missionary was not a person who grew up in a church. The first missionary was not a pastor's kid. The first missionary was a demon-possessed man. If there's hope for him, there's hope for all of us. So he gets back from that. And he gets back and a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. I need to take a moment right there, because before I get to the good news, I need to tell some bad news. There are crowds always around Jesus, even today. Why did they come expecting Jesus? They heard about the miracles. They heard about the fish and the bread. They heard about the leper who was made clean. They heard he could walk on water, turn water into wine. They heard the stories, and they were expecting more bread, more fish, more wine, more healing. They didn't really want him. Are you catching this? They could care less about him. They want what he could give them. That's what they were expecting. And I need to tell that to somebody, maybe somebody listening. You're part of the crowd, but you're not here to contact Jesus. You see, our subject today is kingdom contact. In Japanese, it's seshoku, to touch, to reach out. There's the one lady who touched Jesus, and then there's the little girl who was touched by Jesus. But you see, as you read in the story, there were many, many crowding around, pressing in, trying to touch Jesus. They never contacted him. They never got in touch. They just touched him. They were expecting something. And so for many of us, and I'm not pointing my fingers, I'm guilty as well, we come. There's a nice family atmosphere. There's community. We even serve lunch here. There's gospel choirs. There's good music. There's a feeling of devotion. And for some of us, I need to tell you, that's enough for you. You come and you feel, that's all I need. I grew up with this. And I need this tradition to make me feel like I'm close to Jesus. And some of you, you're close to Jesus, but you've never touched him like this woman did. And I need to be stern for a moment, because I tell you in love. I tell you in love. Be careful. Be warned. You could be just like this crowd. You could see him. You could even come close to him. You could even hear his word, but you'll have never received the power. Because all this was just enough for you. Be warned. Some of you, you'll take communion in an unworthy way. Some of you, you've come out of the waters of baptism. You have no idea what it meant. Some of you, you've grown up in the church. You have your Bible times. You've gone to Bible studies. And it's just potlucks and prayer time. But you've never touched Jesus. I warn you, you're going to wake up someday and this will no longer be a joke. So I'm begging you, come to the real Jesus, not just to the bubble ship, not just to the potlucks, not just to the worship time. Come to Jesus. That's who you want. So that's the harsh word. I tell you that in love. And so there's a crowd, and then what happens is there's this crowd that comes, and then there's the important people in the crowd. There's this man named Jairus, and he's what's called a synagogue leader. Before Jesus, there was the Old Covenant, the way they did it in the Old Testament. They had things like a church. It was called the synagogue. And Jews would come and gather like this, and they would just read the scriptures, and the synagogue leader would teach from the scriptures. And so this man would be like an elder or a teaching pastor. He would not only be a person who teaches the word, he could be the one who organizes the church. He helps serve in the ministry of the church, maybe with the music, maybe with the facilities. He was a very important person, not just in the church, but in the community, because the community was centered on the synagogue. Very highly, highly important man. He was the synagogue leader. He was in touch with the leadership nationally of the synagogue. So he was the one in touch with Jerusalem and the Pharisees and the Sadducees who ran the Sanhedrin. And they knew who he was and he knew who they were. And they were telling him, be careful about this Jesus. Be careful about him. He's dangerous. We don't know who he is. We don't know what he's about. You better be careful. This is Jairus, the synagogue leader. Very high powered, very, very well-to-do. But he has only one daughter, 12 years old. She's dying. She's been sick for maybe a long time. Maybe could be months, weeks, could be years. I feel his pain. Not to the extent he has. I have boys, and I've taken them to the emergency room. And it's scary. You see rashes. You feel the fever. You don't know what to do. You want to stay there, but then Jairus is like, "Okay, well, we don't know what. There's Jesus. They tell me don't talk to him, but I have to go because there's no one else who could help our one daughter. Our one daughter. Do you feel that, you who are fathers? You who have little ones at home." You who have a precious one who you've poured your life into, you've sacrificed for, you've given all that you have, your hope. This is your one daughter. In these 12 years you've known her, it's a joy. It's been pain, but there's hope because now she's 12. She's the marriage age. She's on the cusp of adulthood. Now she's going to get married someday. She's going to start a family. You're going to be a grandfather. This is going to be a beautiful, but now she's sick. There's no one who can help her. And so in a panic, in desperation, he gets to Jesus. He was across the lake. He's come back. Let's go. And he leaves. This is crazy. He leaves his sick, dying daughter at home. That's the last thing you want to do. She's dying, but you got to do something. So you got to go out and you leave the daughter with the wife. But that's what he has to do. And he goes, Jesus, you got to help my daughter. She's sick. And oh, here's Jesus. Here is Jesus. Now, what does he say? Jesus was on his way. Jesus was on his way. Jesus said, yes, I'll go with you. You know, Jesus didn't have to do that, right? He didn't. Could he have healed the girl right there? Did he have that power? Absolutely. He could have just said, Jairus, she's okay. Go in peace. But this is our Lord. This is Jesus. He says, Jairus, let me go with you. There's so many people. They need healing. They need bread. They need food. They're hungry. let me go with you, Jairus. I love you, and I love your daughter. I'm going to go with you. That's amazing to me. One, you know, I just don't get it. Pastor Hiroshi, I don't know if you've met him. Some of you not yet. Some of you know him well. One of the first things that I've noticed from the very time first I met him, Pastor Hiroshi has never rushed. He's never in a hurry. I don't know if you noticed that. He's he's the guy, he has his hands in his pocket. He has all the time to chat. I never have time to chat. I'm chatting with you, but I'm thinking about what I got to get. Pastor Hiroshi, you look him in the eyes. How are you doing? And then you ask him for things. Pastor Hiroshi, can I borrow this? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Can we use the house? Yeah, well, no problem. Go ahead. That's what it's for. Can we use the stage, the instrument? That's what it's there for. No problem. It's just that spirit of Jesus on Pastor Hiroshi. It's you. That's rare. You don't meet that, especially for someone important. And here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. How important do you get? There's no more important than that. Yeah, Jairus, let's go. I'm going to go see your daughter. That's just amazing. You see, because Jesus is not just God, but he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And it wasn't that he just could be God and he could stay God. But in Philippians chapter 2, it says that he took off his God. Not so much took off his God, he took off the glory of God. And he put on humanity. Because he wants to be with us. Are you catching this? Jesus came to us. We come to church. We go to the high place to meet with God. But oh, God came to us. Because that's how much he loves us. So here's Jesus going to the house of Jairus, this important man. Okay, so here's the one. If you don't get anything I say today, here's the one thing I want you to get. You see, there's some of us, we want to touch Jesus. We're trying to contact Jesus. We have a desire to meet Jesus. But I have good news for you. If you have that desire, Jesus also wants to touch you. Our subject today is kingdom contact. And it's not so much that we contact Jesus. Jesus comes to contact us. That's the good news that I need you to hear today. So he's going. And on his way, what happens? A woman was there, verse 43, who had been subject to bleeding for how long? 12 years. How old is Jairus' daughter? Coincidence? 12 years. No one could heal her. Jairus' daughter, no one could heal her. And so Jairus, high status, pillar of the community, well known, important man. Daughter's 12 years old. The top of the top. Now here's a lady, a woman, bleeding. 12 years. The lowest of the low. Are you catching this? The Jairus, the top of the top, he has to humble himself before the King of Kings. He's pleading and begging Jesus. The proud are humbled at the feet of Jesus. The lady, she comes, she's a nobody. She's a woman in this culture. Not only that, she's bleeding. Some doctors say it's kind of uteral hemorrhaging, uterine hemorrhaging. It's something like that. She's bleeding. And if you're bleeding, in Leviticus chapter 15, you're unclean. This is a symbol of a sin. And God is using the monthly cycle to show us a symbol of our need to be cleansed. So if you're bleeding, you're separated from your household, from the people you love, in order to be cleansed. But this woman, when the bleeding didn't stop, it kept going. And it never, so she had to be apart from her family 12 years. She couldn't go to synagogue 12 years. She couldn't eat together with her friends for 12 years. So she's alone. And in the other gospels, it says she's broke. Why is she broke? She had to use all of her money, all of her savings to try to figure out what was wrong. And it says that she suffered much at the hands of many doctors. Because back then, you know, you had your legitimate doctors who tried to help you. Then you had your quacks who made you wear things or mix potions and do, you know, say formulas and things so that you can get. They didn't work. She's broke. She's been trying and trying. She's the lowest of the low. She's desperate. No one could heal her. And so here's what she do. Verse 44, she comes up behind him and touches the edge of his cloak. Whew. And immediately her bleeding stopped. I love this story. I love it so much. Man. So all the Hebrews, the Jews, they have robes on the edge. They'll have like tassels, things that hang off. That's what God commanded Moses. He says, you know, make tassels to show that you're Hebrews. And so the really religious and the really, you know, the church leaders, they put like big tassels because they're really obedient. But Jesus is just, he has his tassel. So she comes up. She's not in front of Jesus. She's humble. She's afraid. And she doesn't want to be seen. She goes behind Jesus. And she just reaches out and she touches it. And Jesus feels the. There's so many people touching Jesus and he feels it. We have a glimpse of God here. How power works. It comes. This is over my head. This is a mystery. But she knows that she's healed. This is amazing. For those of you who are young and vibrant, you don't know how this feels. But for some of you who have had, you know, twisted ankles, bad knees, bad back, messed up shoulders, a jacked up neck, migraines, head to toe, you've gone through it. Your inside's all messed up. You've been in waiting rooms. You've seen doctors. You've seen the x-rays. You know what's wrong with you. And you wake up every day with the reminder that you are not young anymore. I've been in Japan. This is my 14th year. There's some things you put right in, like to at dinner time, you put it right in front of me. I know it's going to mess me up. And I just, man, I put it in my mouth and I feel it going down. And in an hour and a half, I'm going to be processing it, flushing it out of my system. Are you catching this? I just know my body because I've been there so many times, again and again. Sometimes I'll mess up something, and I'll go and get the x-ray or the MRI. The doctor's looking at it, and he's like, yeah, it looks like you've messed up this. And I know, I can feel it, I know. Just give me the painkillers, okay, and we're done. Why am I here? You know your body. This woman knows her body. It's been 12 years she's gone through this. And so she knows the moment she touches Jesus, she can feel it. I'm done with this. I'm whole. I'm new. I'm saved. I can go back to my family. I can hug my children if she's had you. I can be with my husband again. I can go home. I can be a person again. She touched him and made her whole. And then, I just need to go a little bit deeper, okay? I need to go just a little bit deeper. This is a picture of our heart, our soul. Some of you know your heart, your soul, it's not right. You've been searching. You've been sick emotionally, mentally. You're just not 100%. There's something that just doesn't satisfy you about life. And you come from your country all the way to Japan and you're just messed up. And it's just like, what is wrong with me? And then you're searching the scriptures. You're reading the Bible. You're looking for a word that will make, if I could just get in touch with God. And then what happens? What happens? The word comes to life. He opens the eyes of your heart and you understand the truth and you come to Jesus and you feel it in your soul. Do you feel you've had that experience? You feel it. You've been made whole. Your heart has been made new. And it's like you're walking on air. You're not literally walking on air, but the burden has been so long and so heavy. But the moment you understand, I am a child of God. I am a new creation. And it lifts you and you're flying. Have you had that experience? Do you know what I'm talking about? You've touched Jesus. You've come in contact with him. I love that feeling. It's real. It's the truth. And Jesus said, yeah, who touched me? He feels it. He feels it too. God feels it too. You touched God with faith, with belief. God, I need you to make me whole. He in the throne room felt it too. Who touched me? They all denied it. Peter said, Master, the people are crowding around, pressing against you. I talked about the crowd. So Jesus, he's on his way. He's busy. He's going. He feels somebody touching him and the power goes out. It was a secret touch. He could just keep going. Good for you. Glad you got what you needed. Let's go on. But he stops. He has all the time in the world. Why does he do that? I could talk about this for days, but he calls the woman. She realizes she can't hide this. Everybody's going, "What? Why did Jesus stop?" Da 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 da. And she says, "Okay." And she's embarrassed. Can you feel that? She never wanted to be in front of anybody, but now Jesus has called her out in front. She has to give her testimony. She has to air it all. I've been bleeding 12 years. I talked to all the doctors. Couldn't help. And she's got to get it all. But it's okay. She's made whole. Some of you, maybe you feel that way. You feel embarrassed. You felt, this was my old life. I got to talk about it. This was my sin and my shame. I got to bring it out. Well, Jesus says, your faith has healed you. You've been made whole. It's okay. It's okay. Just go in peace. And here's the beautiful thing. He calls her what? What does he call her? Daughter. Daughter. Isn't that amazing? Now, she's probably the same age as Jesus. She's not young. But he calls her daughter. And that immediately, when I heard that, I thought of Isaiah chapter 9. Remember in Christmas time, we read the verse in Christmas? For unto us a child is born, a son is given. On his shoulders the government will be laid. And he'll have the government for all eternity. But anyway, he'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Jesus, the Everlasting Father. Is he your father? That's what I need to ask you. Michelle came up and said, we're family. We're brothers and sisters. We've touched Jesus. If you have been touched by God, If you have been in contact with him, you're my brother and you're my sister. We are the family of God. He's so tender. He's so loving. And I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a co-heir with Christ. And as Fernando read, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because I'm a child. He said, daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. Are you a child of God because of your faith? Is Jesus your father, your everlasting father? Oh, I hope he is. I hope he is. And if he's not, come. Come and touch him. He's ready to heal you. I'm running short on time. We've got the second half of the story. Let me just get to it real quick. He moves on and he gets to Jairus' house. And there's another crowd there. There's crowds everywhere, right? There's crowds. And he gets to the house. The professional mourners are there. They're weeping. They're wailing. She's dead. The girl is dead. And he goes in. He says, okay, the disciples, you stay here. I want you, Peter, John, and you, James. Come with me. You need to learn something. So he calls the three leaders. He's discipling them. He's teaching them. And he goes to the house and he says, everybody, get out. This is amazing. And the other gospel writers, it says Jesus drove them out, kicked them out. It says, you don't need to be here. Why? This is important. We need to get this. You don't need to be here because she's not dead. She's asleep. What is Jesus saying? In this very statement, he is giving us a new definition of death. Okay? You need to get this. He's telling us, up until this point, death has been forever. It's final. Up until this point. But the kingdom is here. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And though, if you believe in me, though you die, yet you will live. And so now death, it's temporary. It's sleeping. So get out. This funeral is done. We're done with this. And he tells the parents, mom, dad, Jairus, mom, you can come too. And so he's in there. And now he's going to deal with death. He's just dealt with sin. Did you catch that? He's just dealt with sin. Disease, result of sin. Death, result of sin. We all wake up with death every morning as a result. He's dealt with that. Now he's going to deal with death. So he comes in, and what does he do? Does he roll up his sleeves? Does he say, get back? Here it comes. Are you ready for it? Does he say that? Does he say, get me my holy water? Get me my, you know, get. No, he doesn't do any of that because he is the resurrection and the life. Just like he dealt with the demons in the previous story, just with a finger of God, he's going to deal with death just with his word. This is God, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of life, the author of life. If you just one Bible trivia for you, no one ever died in the presence of Jesus. You ever notice that? You read the Gospels, there's never anybody dropping dead while Jesus is in the room. You can't this is the resurrection and the life. You're not going to die with him. You're going to come to. So he comes in and he just says, little my child, Talitha, my child, little girl, it's time to wake up. That's what you say. You're saying, arise. It's like she was napping. My little boys, they get home from church, they're sleeping, they're in the car, just drooling, mouth agape. You know, they've been screaming and jumping and playing swords in the back. And we get home, and I open the door. I say, Kyohei, let's go. Oh, okay. Just a word. That's Jesus with death. So I have good news today. You're going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die. But it's not final. Because we believe in the resurrection and the life. So one day I'm going to go into a tomb. And then one day Jesus is going to call me. Chris, time to get up. He doesn't have to say, Chris, arise! No. He's the author of life. Chris, get up. And I'm going to hear it. I don't know where my spirit's going to be. I hope it's in paradise. I'm going to hear it and I'll go back into my body. I don't know if I'm cremated or what, and it's all going to come together. I don't know. But I'm going to come back. And I'm going to wake up. That's the hope that we have as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. The hope of a resurrection and a life. Because Jesus conquered death. He did it with this little girl. So everybody's just freaking out. What in the... Wow. Everybody's astonished, right? And Jesus is like, yeah, just give her something to eat. What a loving guy. What a loving Savior. He cares for this girl. She's been sick how long? She's been dying, maybe dehydrated. And he says, look, she's had a rough week. Let's give her something to eat. This is the kindness of our Lord. This is God coming to us, making contact. Oh, I forgot to say, he touched her, right? He took her by the hand. Kingdom contact. Jesus touches the dead, touches the bleeding, touches the leper. Parents were astonished, and he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened, just at the very end. Remember the story of the leper we talked about a couple of weeks ago? He cleansed the leper, and he says, don't tell anybody. And what does he do? He goes out and tells everybody, disobedient. This is bad. This is not good. Don't do that. If Jesus tells you don't do something, don't do it. You're going to ruin it. The leper goes out, he tells everybody, and now Jesus, he can't go anywhere. He's trying to get to people. He's trying to go from city to city to tell people the good news, to love on them. But the leper, he just does it his way. And then he gets in the way. And so he's telling the parents of this girl, you don't have to tell everybody. Okay? Just leave it here. I don't know if they obeyed or not, but that's what I think he's doing here. He's saying, look, I'm trying to get to everybody, and they're all crowding me, I can't get anywhere. It's just going to be pandemonium, so it's okay. Just keep it here. Besides, I'm going to rise from the dead pretty soon, so that's when you can go ahead and tell everybody. So kingdom contact, I just want to ask you, have you touched Jesus? Have you touched him? You've come and you've sung. Maybe you've given and you've prayed. Yes. And you've shaken some hands and you've smiled and you've shown and have you touched Jesus today? Please let me just urge you with all sincerity. Don't you come to church. Don't you come to Bible study. Don't you go to your quiet time and leave without having touched Jesus. Don't get up off your knees unless you've contacted Jesus. He wants to contact you. He wants to reach out to you. His desire is to go to your place, to take you by the hand, to call you out of death. Don't leave here unless you've met with Jesus. Come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Lay down your sins. Repent and give up your desire to do it your way. And choose God's way. Don't you dare come out of here without having met Jesus. He wants to meet you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to touch you. He is our Lord. He is our God. Amen. Okay, let's have worship team please come on up. Get us ready. Would you please pray with me? Bow your heads. as we consider the Word of God. Who are you? Are you the little girl just dead in your sin? Are you the woman who has been bleeding and suffering for so long? Are you the crowd member just satisfied with getting something from Jesus? Have you touched him? Have you met with him? Have you poured out your heart before him? Have you sacrificed yourself to him? Would you now come before Jesus? Confess your need for him as a Savior. Come out of death and into life. Would you do that? Lord Jesus, I would pray for all of us here. Oh Lord God, that we would be honest with you, that we would put down the mask and put down the hypocrisy and the lies, and let us, Lord, be honest with you, Lord, and really come into contact with you. Oh God, that's my prayer for all of us today, God. And in so doing, that we would receive our salvation, that we would have the hope of resurrection. Oh Lord God, let not language, distance, culture be a barrier. Let not our hearts be hard. Let not our minds be closed. But open our hearts. Open our minds. Soften our hearts, Lord God, to receive your word, to touch you, Lord God. Some of us, we want to change. Some of us, we're desperate for new life. Oh, Lord God, help us. Come to our home. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. And change us, please. Father, for some of us here living in rebellion and sin, or just apathy, oh, Lord God, convict us under the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, help us with the power of the Holy Spirit to live a new life, the resurrection life, Lord God. And Lord, in doing this, we will thank you, we will praise you, we will lift up our song in adoration to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.